What's up, guys? Safiron, Super Saf Speaks, and welcome to episode number 33 of the podcast with myself, your host, Saf, along with my co-host.
Edabong AT from, you know what, Thunder E from Board at Work. I am confused. I'm different time zones.
Edabong is at MWC. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But we've got lots to talk about this month. We've got the Google Pixel 9 leaks. I mean, Google just like leaks everything so early, or they have very limited security when it comes to their devices. The S24 Ultra now has the update that everybody has been wishing for, and, you know, saying, wait for those reviews until you do this update, and it's come like over a month later.
Yeah.
The Honor Magic 6 Pro, a very promising device, which we've been testing out over the past few weeks. And I've got a lot of thoughts about it. I've done a full video on it as well, but want to kind of discuss a little bit more on that. And then the Nothing Phone 2A has just been announced as well right now. Again, we've had it for a couple of weeks. So that's another interesting budget device to talk about from Nothing. So, I mean, firstly, E,
yeah,
you're at MWC. You're in Barcelona.
So yes, I am.
A bit of a different setup, as you can see.
It is, yes. You can see my setup. And luckily, I brought my lights with me. So hopefully this will go well.
Hopefully,
yes.
He says. The Google Pixel 9 Pro. We've seen some leak renders, and let me just go ahead and say that Google is the worst when it comes to keeping the devices under wraps. From the Google Pixel 1, now all the way to the Google Pixel 9, we've seen the complete products months before. Right now, I mean, it's January, February time that we started seeing these leaks, and the device is probably going to be coming out around, you know, September, October time. So
yeah,
we've already seen what the design is going to be like, and I'm sure we're going to start seeing some actual physical devices coming soon as well, knowing the track record of Google. But the Pixel 9, I think the main design change that we see is a refreshed camera module. So we've seen that visor look that we've seen from Google for a few years now, and I quite like it. It's quite unique. But now they've kind of got this raised camera bump, which is still, you know, horizontal. And it's similar to what they've got on the Google Pixel Fold device, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it just kind of raises there at the back. And it still looks pretty decent, I would say. What about you, E?
I like the design. I think this is much better. You know, we still have the visor, but, you know, it's a bit more oval, a little bit flatter. It feels more like a pastel look to the visor, in a sense. You know, it's just kind of a flatter look to it. Even the overall shape of the visor is a bit broader, wider, from just the looks of it. I like this design. I think this is a good evolution from this design. Just a quick one on, you know, the leaks. I spoke to Google, and they said that, look, it's not them. That they're trying to find who's leaked it out, at least from the PR reps that I know. So, you know, at least from that side,
okay,
you know, I can say it isn't. But somebody does leak the stuff badly.
It's been consistent from Google Pixel 1, right, until every single year. There are full 4K videos out. Like, don't get me wrong, every device you have some leaked renders and things like that, right? But with Google, you get them very early. Firstly, as I said, it's you know, March, but these leaks have been around since January, February time, and the device isn't going to come out till like September, October time. So like, that is very, very early that we've got those leaks. So yeah, I just don't know what's going on in Google's process over there, but they really need to look at it, because this is 9 generations. You know what I mean? It's not like just one or two. It's been every single one. Marquez talked about it as well in his videos. You know, it's notorious that before the device releases, we get a full 360 look, and, you know, again, 4K unboxings as well. Because I remember one time I was kind of just ranting about it on Twitter, and then Evan Blass, who's a, you know, a notorious leaker, was kind of like trying to defend that, oh no, all devices leak. And I'm like, no, dude, these are actual video, like there's a full review of it already online, and it's 2 months later.
I think Google has taken the leaking to the highest level, because, you know, in the past, it was always blurry photos, kind of shaky, really, you know, slightly fuzzy. And then when they started leaking, it was just, you know, 4K, maybe even 8K photos, just straight up, like, you know, enjoy.
It was full on.
Yeah.
Here's the full thing. Now, the main leaks have been from serial leaker OnLeaks, and then there are all these 3D renders based on the leaked information. TT Technology has actually done some really detailed looking, really nice looking renders as well that you'll be seeing on screen if you are watching the video version of this podcast. Looks like we're going to get some flat edges now instead of the curved, and it also looks like we're going to be getting a flat display for the Pixel 9 Pro. So the flat display, again, seems to be a theme that we're seeing from lots of different devices now. They're kind of going away from curved edges and going for more flatter displays. And we've established this in previous episodes of the podcast, haven't we, Enabog, that we generally do prefer flatter displays.
Yeah.
Oh man. So yeah, Pixel 8 Pro, I mean, there's not a huge deal of information. Obviously, it's going to have the new Tensor chip, and we've seen some leaked benchmarks for performance. This is usually just kind of like a step below the Snapdragon, so it's not right up there. So let's see what it's going to be like. Now, the Samsung Galaxy S24 Ultra, we have had the update that everybody has been talking about. We've done some testing on it as well. And, you know, this is something that I had a rant about in the previous episode of the podcast, which was people were saying, oh, no, you need to wait for this update for this device that is released in people's hands. No, don't test it yet. Wait for the update that comes through, which we don't know when it's going to be, and then only test it. Like, absolute frustrating, annoying people.
Experts. It's okay. I know. I feel you. Man, I agree with you as well.
These so-called experts, it's just like, oh no, you've been given the device from Samsung themselves. They've said, here is the device, go ahead and test it, right? Okay, they've not said anything about wait for an update. The device then came out, released in people's hands, and these absolute, I don't want to use bad language, but they were like, oh, wait for this update, and then test it. Well, over a month later, after the device was available in people's hands, like, roughly about a month later, we finally have this update, and there are some improvements, which we'll talk about. So the first one is that, you know, in our initial coverage, everybody talked about how the display, although it was great, especially with the new Gorilla Armor, less reflective, but it was also less vibrant compared to previous generations, right?
Yeah.
Now, they've tried to address this with a software update, and we've got a Vivid slider now. So if you go into your settings, you can go onto this Vivid slider, and then you can make the display more vibrant than it would have been. And, you know, looking at my S23 Ultra and the S24 Ultra, I can definitely see that now it does match the vividness, shall we say, of the previous generation.
Yeah, spicy. I mean, look, I personally could care less about the vividness. I know you're going to say I'm an old man, so just stop it right there. Just stop the jokes. But I do like the fact that Samsung addressed this really quickly and also kind of just shut it off where they can make the reflectiveness a continued progress where it gets better and better and better, and also add a vividness slider so that, you know, you can always just have it whichever way you want. So this is one of the great benefits of having that flexibility in Android ecosystem as well. So just what Samsung is doing. So I applaud them for that quick turnaround, you know, in this case.
Yeah, and the thing is, I think it just comes down to your preference, right? I think for a lot of Samsung users, they're used to those very vivid and, you know, vibrant colors, and everything just pops. And that's kind of been Samsung's kind of trademark on previous devices. So if somebody's upgrading from, say, an S21 Ultra, an S22 Ultra, they're going to notice that. Whereas if somebody's coming fresh, they might be like, you know what, I don't want those colors to be that vibrant. Maybe I want it to be, you know, just standard as what you find on other devices, and that's absolutely fine. It's just nice that we now have this slider that we can use.
I have a question for you on the updates. Was there anything else besides the camera updates? Was there anything else you were looking forward to in the update, for, you know, just besides the camera fixes?
So I think apart from the vividness of the display, I wanted to check that out. One of the areas that I think I've found a bit of an improvement is with battery life, right? So battery life was good initially, but I think it's just now a little bit better. Like, I'm kind of noticing that I'm ending off on more percent at the end of the day than I would have after being testing this update for a few days. So I think they've probably done some efficiency updates and just like some tweaks and just bug improvements, which I think maybe like by about 5% have, for me, that's what I've kind of, again, it's very hard to quantify this because I would need to have an S24 Ultra that I've used for the same amount of time that is on the older update. So it's difficult to test it side by side. What about you?
I didn't have anything, but now you mentioned battery. I was just kind of gauging my battery use, you know, because I'm at a convention and MWC, which means I'm using my phone a lot and you're getting a lot of signal bouncing and things like that. And I would say my battery life has been really good. I haven't had to charge my device until I go to bed. So,
Sign. You know, Phone Buff did a battery test. This is, I believe, before the update, and he kind of compared it to the iPhone, and it was pretty much neck and neck. It's very, very close, which is what I was, which is what I found in my testing as well. But he kind of quantified it, like, specifically by doing his robotic tests and things like that. I definitely recommend you check that out. I usually don't watch battery drain tests because they're just, you just can't, like, they're not very accurate. Like a lot of people I've seen, they'll do a battery drain test and they'll compare it to the iPhone 15 Pro Max, which they've been using for the past few months. So obviously the battery health is not going to be as good as the brand new one that you've just unboxed, right? Brand new device that you've unboxed. But with Phone Buff, David Rahimi, he literally gets brand new versions of both devices and then tests them out there and then. He's like very, very thorough in his testing.
Yeah.
So yeah, very good battery life. Now, there is a list of the specific improvements that are there in terms of the cameras. We've got brighter backlight shots, there's sharper text zoom, so when you're zoomed in to text from a distance, it's now sharper. You've got smoother video, you've got indoor portrait enhancements, food mode fiesta, night mode magic, DNG gallery zoom, action heroes, and subjects shine, right? Now, all of these are very specific scenarios, I would say, right? Like things like brighter backlit shots and stuff like that. So I have obviously, like, again, to test these side by side, you would need a device with the older update and then test it side by side with a device with the latest update, which is very difficult to do. But just in our general testing, I think there are some improvements, but, you know, it's not something that's like drastic. What would you say, Enabong?
Yeah,
I mean, in certain areas, like sharper text zoom, it's something that's definitely noticeable.
I agree with the sharper text, especially zooming in, even to 100x, it's actually, you know, much better there. I also continued, because I'm also doing my 2 months review, and, you know, this update is kind of coming into that. On the side of my black camera test, I would say it's also, you should go check it out, guys, it's fun. It's also better there. I'd say it's getting closer to what the Pixel does in terms of skin tone and pushing away from the iPhone as well in that regard. But there's some aspects which I don't think it's covered yet. So again, it's like you said, it's a very hard thing to judge, especially if you have to think about what it used to do when you got it for, like, you know, the first 2 months.
Yeah, so just to give some context, firstly, Enabong's black test is a skin color test, essentially. So, you know, how good is the camera for black people, essentially, right? Is that the right summary?
I mean, it's actually, I call it the black test in that regard, but for me, it's about how does the camera represent you to true life and your liking as well, because that's the one thing that we don't always look at in camera tests. And you know very well, is we've talked about this in the past. If you, and David took a photo, the camera's going to have a hard time with just three different complexions. So how does it actually handle that kind of stuff? And I think Samsung does a good job. I think Pixel really does the best. And right now the iPhone is just, you know, it's way back in the yard. So that's the black test.
Yeah, I think, again, that's I would disagree, but that's a whole other conversation that we can have again. But I would say yes, some noticeable improvements, some that are very specific to particular scenarios, which are very difficult to quantify and, you know, compare. But now that the update is here, obviously any tests going forward, our reviews, our comparisons will be with the new update. So that will be much easier for us to see, you know, how things are compared to the competition. But welcome improvements. And I'm glad this update is finally here. everybody that was waiting for it. And our long-term reviews will be after this update. So yeah, our initial coverage, our hands-on, you know, our initial comparisons, those have to be done at the time when the device is in our hands. But our longer-term reviews, 2 months later, etc., will be coming. And then we will take these software updates into consideration. Who knows, we might get another one. I mean, Samsung is pretty good at software updates, so maybe we'll get another one before we actually do our videos.
I think we'll probably get another one in another probably 2 to 3 months, because I think they're going to wait to see what the reaction is from this update, how people are going to actually consume it, what are the issues that are left, or what are the issues that you're facing, and we'll get that. But you know, we will have this in our reviews and videos, and yeah, it should be fun. You guys let us know your thoughts too, because I'm sure, you know, those who have S24s, 24 series and the Ultra, want to know what your thoughts are, if it actually fixes the things you're concerned about.
Yeah, definitely. If there's any particular, like, specific scenarios that were frustrating you, and now you're like, oh yeah, that's works way better. So that'll be definitely good to know. Drop those in the comments. Right. Honor Magic 6 Pro. This is the latest flagship from Honor, and it is a real flagship device. I mean, it ticks all of the boxes, and already, I mean, it came out in you know, end of Feb, and now it's March, and it's a real contender for one of the top smartphones of the year so far. They have gone for a curved design. So now this is the thing that's arguable, that, you know, obviously flat versus curved, we've talked about a lot. One thing that I do like about the Honor Magic 6 Pro is that it's curved from all sides, and it's symmetrical, and because it repeats at the back as well, right? So it is very comfortable to hold. So compared to something like the S24 Ultra, it is more comfortable to hold. And because the curves are on all sides, everything kind of melts towards the edges, which I think looks quite cool.
Yeah, I do agree. I think it's a nice device. It's really solid. I think this is probably one of the best premium efforts that we've seen from Honor, you know, in their history as a young company, if you will. I do like the way the device feels. I wouldn't say, I mean, since Safa's moved me away from curved displays, I wouldn't say that I like a curved display anymore, but I'm joking, guys, I'm joking. But I do like the way the device feels. But what's interesting is that camera layout at the back, even though it looks simple, it does have a very, very interesting, it reminds me of, you know, when you go to like skyscrapers, like Empire State Building.
And oh yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what they're called. Yeah. What those things are. That's what it reminds me of.
It's quite unique. But one thing that I do like about it is that camera bump, like your finger naturally rests below it. So it's actually like fits quite nicely in the hand, as we reviewers like to say, right? Uh-huh. So that's one thing that I do like about it. Now, it's got loads of, it's met loads of these TÜV standards, and it's got all of these DxO mark ratings and all the rest of it. It's got 5,000 nits partial HDR peak brightness, which is amazing. And it's also got the industry's highest PWM dimming frequency. So that's 4,320 hertz dynamic dimming. Now, let's not confuse that with the refresh rate of the actual screen, which is 120 hertz, super smooth. But this dynamic dimming, it just makes it very, very easy on the eyes when you're using the device in the darkness, right? It's just going to make it a lot more comfortable, and it's not going to affect your sleep as much as other devices may do. So that's really good as well. So, I mean, display right up there. Now, we do have the pill-shaped cutout, okay? So this is something that I've seen a few people comment about, that, okay, they're just copying Apple with the dynamic island. Now, one thing that I do have to say is that if you look at previous Honor Magic devices, they do still have that pill cutout, but it's towards the side. Now they've moved it to the middle, and we do have some dynamic island-esque features. So for example, if you've got the timer on, then you can tap it and it's going to expand it and things like that. So yeah, clearly there has been some inspiration taken from the dynamic island of the iPhone. But yeah, that pill shape has been there before. And it also has a 3D time of flight sensor, which means that you've got secure facial unlock, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you prefer, a fingerprint scanner or facial unlock?
Fingerprint scanner. The only time I like facial unlock is on a laptop.
Okay.
Because half the time I don't look at my phone when I unlock it.
Yeah, No, I totally agree. But the great thing about the Honor Magic 6 Pro is that you've got both. You've got in-display fingerprint scanner, and then you've got secure. Now, the key word here is secure because it's using a time-of-flight sensor. Now, a lot of people, especially this is super annoying, whenever I'm doing like a review of a Samsung device or something, they'll be like, oh, if I'm comparing it to the iPhone, and they're like, oh yeah, but the Samsung also has face unlock. What are you talking about? You don't know anything. And it's just like, you absolute, ugh. It's not secure on things like the S24 Ultra. Samsung say themselves, when you go into the settings, it will actually tell you that this is not secure, and it can be, you know, it's not going to be as secure as the fingerprint scanner because it's just using the camera, and that's what it's using, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas with the Honor Magic 6 Pro, it is using a time of flight sensor, so it covers all scenarios. So, you know, and plus, obviously, it gives you extra depth information for portraits, which also work really well.
Yeah, that is true. I think it's like I said, the package that Honor has brought up for this device is really nice to see. Now, the one thing, at least for me living in the US, is we'll love to see the device here in the US for more people to try out. But, you know, that's near here or there.
I mean, that's one good thing, the advantage that we've got here in the UK, because there's a lot of things that don't make it to the UK. Like, for example, the Vision Pro, I just to test out since my initial hands-on that I had. So it's nice that we get a few wins as well. Now, I'll talk a little bit about the cameras as well on the Honor Magic 6 Pro, because the cameras are very, very good. They're like true flagship cameras. We've got the self-adjusting aperture. So the primary camera can go between f1.4 and f2.0. And that basically will give you a slightly more blurry background or a slightly less blurry background, just to kind of put it simply. Right now, because the shift in aperture isn't massive, I mean, it's not hugely noticeable. I think it's mostly noticeable when you are up close on subjects and things like that. But this is something that we saw on the S9 series, I think, a few years ago, and then Samsung kind of got rid of it.
Yeah.
But it is nice to have this on here. And then we've got improved all scenario AI motion sensing capture. This is something that's really fun. I'm not sure if you've tried this out, E, but basically if you're trying to capture action, so if you're jumping or if you're doing some kind of sports, you just tap, and if you've got that mode on, it's going to try to capture the point of action, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you jump, the highest point, you know, this kind of brings me back to when we were in Vegas and we were trying to get those jumping shots, and you have to like try to take like loads of shots, or you have to try to do something. With this, you just tap, and then it will capture automatically the point. And it actually does this really well. And now this has actually been improved because they've trained it on lots of different scenarios. And I think the other key thing is that they've got a 180 megapixel periscope zoom camera. So that's the highest megapixel zoom camera.
Hello.
And it's got a very wide aperture, an f2.6 aperture, which means it can let in a lot of light as well. So it's a great zoom camera. Now, here's the thing. I've got a few thoughts about this camera because it's got a 2.5 times optical zoom. Okay. So at 2.5 times, great. 5 times, amazing. 10 times, also amazing, because it's using some of that resolution as well. My issue is that they've put on the back 100 times, 100x, right? Okay, so they physically wrote that. Now, when you go to 100x, I'm going to be honest with you, the results aren't great. I don't think that they are usable. I would say that, you know, I would stick to 10 to maybe even 25 times. But then if you go all the way to 100 times, I think that is a bit of a push, because you're extending 2.5 times all the way to 100 times, right? And then you've put it on the back of the camera as well.
I think maybe they forgot the backlash the Samsung got from doing that themselves a few years back. Yeah. with the S20. And I agree with you. I think it's just something that it's not needed at this point in time, because I think a lot of consumers, especially, you know, a lot of techies who will be the first to kind of pick up a device like this, already know that, hey, look, as long as you're giving us up to 10, 20, 20x zoom, we're good. 100 is just so we can brag with our friends and, you know, showcase that we can zoom all the way, you know, to a distance. So I think that's just not necessary.
Yeah, I think physically putting that on the camera, on the camera module there, saying 100x kind of tells you, hey, this takes great pictures at 100x when there is no smartphone camera that takes great pictures at 100x, right? Okay, nah. Yes, you can take pictures of the moon and things like that. But again, it's not something that you're going to be using on the day-to-day because the shots are just not going to be as good as obviously if you are at those optical zoom ranges. So that's one thing that I definitely have to mention. They've got some new AI features as well. There's like great collaboration. If you've got other R&D devices, you can, you know, share the screen and things like that. There's also Magic Portal. So you can just, you know, grab things and then it's going to allow you to just like if you see an image and you're like, oh, I want to buy this, you can just drag it into the eBay app, which will pop up on the side. So there's some really nice smart features. Obviously, 8 Gen 3, which is the flagship chipset right now. So It's going to be right up there in terms of the performance and battery life. Now, this is something that I definitely want to touch on. It's got a 5,600 milliamp hour battery, right? Now, when I was using this, like literally just you could just go on all day and then some, and you wouldn't have to worry because right now, most of the flagships you're looking at between 4,800 to 5,000 milliamps. This is 5,600 milliamps, so it actually takes it that much further. So it's really, really good. So yeah, that's something that I definitely have to mention. It's got excellent battery life. And you also have 80 watts of supercharging, so you can get faster top-ups than many other devices. 66 watts of wireless supercharge. However, this year, Honor have taken the road of the other manufacturers and they're not including the charger out of the box, at least in the UK anyway, right? So this is something we also talked about with OnePlus devices, that OnePlus devices still have the charger, but Honor has decided not to include the charger out of the box, which I know is controversial.
Look, yeah, it's I look at it as neither here nor there. I think there's a one mindset as if you're buying a premium device, you should have a charger. You should have everything there because you're spending that much money. Yeah. But also the second thought is if you're buying a premium device, you should also have chargers at home and that shouldn't be a bother. I think it's more necessary on low-end devices because most of those people who are buying devices like that are either, you know, passing those devices on to someone else, you know, whether it's a brother or cousin or, you know, something like that. And also, again, they're not keeping chargers the way that, like, you know, typically iPhone users will have a drawer of like old iPhone chargers sitting now waiting there. So it's one of those things where I think eventually we don't need chargers, especially when you have Anker selling some amazing chargers out there, you know. So yeah, Anker, sponsor.
So you can tell somebody sponsored by Anker, right?
No, I was saying Anker, please sponsor the podcast because, you know, it's pretty good.
Like, you got to do it.
Yeah.
In my opinion, if you've got good wireless charging, and you don't include a charger out of the box, then it's fine. Because I'll be honest with you, for me right now, I have a wireless charger built into my desk. I have a wireless charger at the side of my home desk, at my bedside. I have a wireless charger pretty much everywhere now. So it's just so much more convenient and easy just to kind of leave that on there. And it's fast anyway, right? And especially with how good the battery life is on the Honor Magic 6 Pro, like you really don't need to charge it during the day. Right. So if you are somebody that's just going to use it throughout the day, drop it on a wireless charger, you wake up to it fully charged and then you go around and you just go through that cycle and it's absolutely fine. Now, pricing wise, it is starting at £1,100, but Honor do have like a £200 off voucher. So realistically speaking, right now, if you do order it, it's going to cost around £900, which does make it quite competitive and kind of puts it in line with something like the S24 Plus rather than the S24 Ultra, which is the more expensive device. So yeah, again, very, very good pricing. I'd say competitive pricing at its launch anyway, and a very, very solid device. I've covered it in a bit more detail on the main channel. You can go ahead and check that video out if you haven't seen it yet. All right, Nothing Phone 2A. This is the more sort of budget device from Nothing. And I mean, it's pretty good. So the starting price, £320 in the UK for the 8GB with 128GB of storage. For the 12GB RAM version with 256GB of storage, you're looking at around £350. So about £30 more. So I would generally just go for that version. But it's not coming to the US, I believe.
No. But I think you can still order it online. So technically, sort of.
Technically, you'll be able to get that through. Now, Nothing's been very interesting because obviously Carl Pei has been behind it, who's from OnePlus. And I think they've incorporated a lot of OnePlus's tactics, but a lot of sort of Carl's tactics as well, because they kind of revealed the device pretty much fully like a week before the embargo.
Yeah.
And that kind of really takes away the thunder from when you actually have the release of the device, because everybody's pretty much seen it already, which is kind of, you know, like can be a little bit frustrating. But I do like the marketing that Carl in particular does, right? So one of the funny things that happened was that somebody was, because they've got a really big Bollywood star, Ranveer Singh, you might know. And somebody kind of said there that, you know, Bhai, why are you, Bhai means brother in Hindi, by the way.
Yeah? Okay.
So said to Carl, Bhai, you know, why do you need celebrity endorsements? And then Carl's response was, because we want to sell more phones, Bhai, right? And then it became a whole thing on X, Twitter, and Carl actually changed his name from Carl Pei to Carl Pai, right? And then there was a few others that didn't. I was like, you know what, I'm gonna join onto the bandwagon as well. And then I changed my name from my full name to Safwan Pai.
Yeah.
And that was quite funny. The only annoying thing is that X takes off your verification tick if you change your name, and then it takes about 4 to 5 days to bring it back. And I was like, all right. It was worth it though, because it was funny, right? So some interesting marketing there. Now, the phone itself, right, it replaces the phone one. So the phone one you could have bought. I mean, you still be able to buy it, like whatever the stocks are remaining, but this kind of is a direct replacement for that. And just kind of run through some of its features. You've got a 6.7-inch AMOLED display, which is the same size as the phone two, but it's actually brighter, and it does have a 120Hz refresh rate. So now, for a device starting at £320, 120Hz refresh rate with small bezels, that's really good, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Now, cameras, you've got two cameras. There's a primary and an ultra-wide. They're both 50-megapixel Samsung sensors. You've got a 32-megapixel selfie camera, which is actually a high resolution compared to other Nothing devices, which are up, you know, 16 megapixels. And you do have a custom MediaTek Dimensity 7200 Pro, right? I was about to say 7200 Pro, but yeah. That's a 4-nanometer chipset. Pretty decent chipset, I would say, for its price range. And the Nothing software, so Nothing OS, I would say one of my favorite skins on Android. Very, very clean. They've got their own identity. They're really good with updates. Everything, you know, kind of has that monotone theme, which I really do like. And just generally a very, very nice device. Obviously, we have the glyph interface at the back. It's only on the top portion. It's not across the device like we've seen on other Nothing devices. So you still get that Nothing vibe. It still looks unique. You still got that glyph composer if you do want to compose your own ringtones and have the glyph kind of react on there. It's got the progress bar as the glyph as well. So yeah, I mean, for its price, I think it's a very, very good device. And I think as a budget device, this is really, you know, it really brings up the competition. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it is. I like the pricing of the device. I like the look. It's got its own unique vibe with it. I think everything on paper works well, and also the device kind of feels and functions well. The marketing is cool, but I have a slight twist to it, or not a twist, or complaint, if you will. No, it's not really a twist. I feel that Nothing should launch their A devices the same time with their main devices, simply because it allows a good separation between both. And also, because of the size of the company, I don't think they can afford two separate launches yet throughout the year, at least for smartphones.
Okay.
Because
I mean, if they've got Ranveer Singh, then I think
they've got
enough money.
No, not in cash terms. I'm talking about, like, you know, people's mindsets on the device. Not about the cash. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm gonna change my last name to brother as well. You know, just so that I can tap in.
Enobong Pai. I like the ring of it. Let us know if you want him to change his name to that as well, brother E.
Yeah. But I think it's solid. My question to you though is it's kind of a quick two-part question. Do you think part of the reason why they're not in the US is also competition from, say, the OnePlus 12R in that market space? And and also, again, how do you think the device will fare, at least in your region in the UK?
Okay, so now with the US, the problem is it's carrier-based, isn't it? The US, you kind of have to go with a carrier. You need to get a contract. That's kind of how most of the sales work in the US. It's very different to the UK and other regions where people kind of buy the devices outright and then kind of have their just pop their SIM in that they've had with whatever, right?
True.
So I think that's one of the key areas there when it comes to devices succeeding in the US. And that's one of the reasons that OnePlus took a bit of time as well to kind of pick up before they got these deals with a lot of these carriers. So that's my opinion on the US side of things. In the UK, I think it is going to do quite well because at that price point and, you know, with CarPay's marketing, the way they're doing it, I think it's quite smart. And I think in particular, it's going to do very well in India because, again, you've got Ranveer Singh, who's a huge, huge celebrity, right? And, you know, having that sort of marketing done there, those markets, again, I think it's going to do really well. I've not been given the pricing in rupees as yet, but, you know, again, it's going to be very competitive for what you're getting. And it's kind of got like, you know, again, when you're using that device, it looks unique. It doesn't look like other devices out there.
Yeah.
Now, yes, there are some compromises for that price. So, you know, it's got a polycarbonate back compared to actual glass and things like that. But that, you know, makes it a little bit more durable because plastic is less likely to break compared to glass, right?
Mm-hmm. So
that it might not feel as premium. But hey, if you're going to be putting your phone in a case anyway, most likely a clear case because it's a nothing phone. I think they're doing really, they're very, very smart in how they've approached things. They've got a very unique looking device, which is going to stand out from the crowd. It's going to get people's attention. And, you know, the specs match up, right? As I said, you've got the custom Dimensity 7200 Pro. That display, for me, that display, 120 hertz for that quality display with the bezel sizes. Usually you have a bit of a chin here and there and stuff like that. I think, you know, nothing is probably not making anything.
They're not making nothing
on these devices. Nothing is making nothing. But I think this will really kind of, or if they are, it's going to be small profit margins because they will be pushing these out to the masses, shall we say, and really kind of establishing themselves. I also disagree that they should launch these both at the same time. Obviously, I think it takes attention away. I mean, the one that they're going to actually make a more profit on will, you know, as far as I'm aware, will be the actual flagship device. So they release that, they sell as many as those as they can, then they kind of bring down a cut down version of it, like Google do as well with the Pixel. I mean, we should be seeing the Pixel 8a coming very, very soon, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So
I'm surprised that hasn't leaked, just a side note.
Well, the thing is, I mean, there isn't a huge deal to leak because it's going to look just like the Pixel.
That is true.
8 and the 8 Pro.
Just more.
Right? And then it's just going to, we kind of already know what it's going to be, right? So people, leakers are probably like, it's not worth it. Just shoot some B-roll with the Pixel 8 and, you know, Bob's your uncle.
True.
But, yeah, again, nothing phone 2A. I think it's a really cool device. I like what Nothing are doing, and I think it's going to be very, very popular. And, that's all we have time for today because Enerbog has to change rooms.
Yeah. No. Just before we go, I'm saying that I'm looking at my watch. I wanted to ask about the OnePlus Watch 2.
The OnePlus Watch 2, 100 hours of battery life.
Yes.
Very good. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I kind of did some quick testing on it, but I haven't had a chance to kind of wear it and like extensively use it because it's just been so busy. But yeah, what are your thoughts on it, considering you have been using it for a while?
Oh, you know me, I'm not a smartwatch fan anymore. I've kind of lost faith from smartwatches. I wouldn't say it's restored my faith, but I've really enjoyed using it because the design and fit is very nice. It feels like a really solid watch for me. That's the first thing. The 100 plus hours battery life is fantastic. I've worn it for close to 4 days without, you know, until I need to charge. And it works well. This is kind of what I've been waiting for with Wear OS watches, is that even if I'm not, you know, into it, or I'm not using all the features or, you know, all the different aspects of it, the fact that I have not charged it yet, and I left home, you know, on Saturday, so this is technically the fourth. So I should charge it today because it's running low. But yeah, it's technically the fourth day.
It's pushing.
Yeah, I'm pushing.
Living on the edge.
Yeah, I'm living on the edge. But you see, that's what I like. I like that, and some of the tracking features. I've used it to work out once. What I mean by workout, just like stationary, because I busted my ankle. But it's good. I like it. I think it's a good entry. Plus the price point is, you know, it's like $299, $300, I think. Again, this is another, to me, it's another major win from OnePlus this year. They've kind of got the hits rolling, like, you know, and it's just impressive to see that as a company, they're just rolling stuff out, you know, and getting back to form.
Yeah, I mean, it's so interesting because for those of you guys who don't know, how it achieves up to 100 hours of battery life, it has to be in smart mode to do this where it's kind of more efficient, but it's because it has dual chipsets with dual OSs, right? So you've got the Snapdragon W5 Gen 1, right? Which is running the Wear OS 4, and that's for the performance. But for efficiency, you've got the BES 2700, which is running RTOS, right? So that's the more efficient one. So, you know, you don't necessarily always need that performance when you're, you know, tracking activity and things like that. Yes, you might need the performance, but, you know, generally you don't need that performance, and it can switch between these two operating systems. And that's actually what gives it, that's the secret behind that extended battery life that it can give you. And it's also got, you know, VOOC charging. So, you know, you can just charge it for 1 hour and it's going to give you another 100 hours, right? So It's not like you need to take it off when you're going to bed or anything like that. You just kind of drop it on maybe when you're getting ready at home, just going for a shower, etc. Boom, it's fine. I mean, I'm not saying only have a shower every 4 days. That's not what I'm saying, but I'm saying, you know, you only have to worry about that, and it's going to carry on for that length of time, which is really quite good. But, you know, like, apart from that as well, it's only 80 grams. That's with the strap. You've got a sapphire crystal watch face using 2.5D glass, stainless steel chassis.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the display as well, 326 ppi, so 1.43 inch display. It's circular, which I do prefer for watches compared to square displays.
Yeah, right? I agree.
So yeah, it ticks all the boxes. And you mentioned the price. So yeah, it's $300, but you can get $50 off if you trade in any other smartwatch. So, you know, if you've got any other old smartwatch relying
around, I guess an old Fitbit
not working,
probably.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe something like that. You can get $50 off, which is still a good deal. In the UK, it's £300. Pre-orders available. By the time this video goes live, it's also going to be ready for you guys to purchase as well. So yeah, very, very solid device. Great smartwatch as well. So if you are looking for an Android smartwatch, I mean, this is definitely up there as a contender.
Yeah, definitely. I was going to add one more thing, but I'm looking at time. Just one answer, quick answer. Are you going to get a Galaxy Ring?
I think I will, actually. So you've had an early look at it, haven't you?
Yeah.
Or you can't say.
I can say some things. I would tell you that Samsung said that they're looking at it as an addition and also stationary aspect to their health ecosystem. So you can wear it with your watch or without your watch. So it's not something that, you know, you must have a smartwatch. I think some people are thinking that's the case, but they're looking at it as being, if you have a smartwatch, then it kind of complements that altogether.
Edibong's getting his call because his time's running out for his checkout from his room.
This is too funny. It's really funny. They're coming up with a key to move me to my other room, apparently.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So we're a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
Now, what I want to say is I've been using the Ultra Human ring, uh-huh. Which I don't have with me right now. Now, my problem with that is I love the design. It's nice and comfortable. I can wear it when I'm sleeping because that's something that I can't do with a watch. I just find it, like, for me, I'm somebody who just can't have anything like a watch on when I'm sleeping, right? I put my arm behind my head sometimes. I do all sorts of stuff, right? So for me, I can never wear a watch when I'm sleeping. A ring, on the other hand, is absolutely fine. It's not intrusive.
Yeah.
The only problem is with the Ultra Human is that I find the sleep tracking is really not good, right? So there's been times when I've been sitting watching a movie and it says, hey, we detected a short nap. And I'm like, I was just relaxing in bed watching a movie, right? And you thought I was sleeping, right? So clearly this is not good. So
the question is, did the movie really relax you that much? That you're like,
Well, no, but the thing is, so for me, for example, like, I really struggle with sleep, right? So I have to, you know, for me, it takes a long time to get to sleep. So I have to kind of sit down and I'm on my phone for at least 45 minutes to an hour before I get to sleep, right? Now, while I'm doing that, the Ultra Human Ring will think that I'm asleep. So it'll track that, oh yeah, you fell asleep at this time and you've had a good 8 to 9 hours of sleep. And I'm like, no, I didn't. I was actually awake during most of that time, kind of sitting there on my phone, and it wasn't me sleeping. So that's something that I think that needs to work on. And I think if the Galaxy Ring does solve that problem, then I can definitely see myself using it a lot more, you know, compared to, and again, I've not tried the Aura Ring. The only one that I've been able to try is the Ultra Human Ring. As I said, I really like it in terms of its design, and you know, the software is nice and stuff. I just think that the tracking needs to be improved.
Yeah, sorry, I got my new room key. That's why I disappeared. Yeah. But I do agree with you. I think this is going to spur another race where, you know, we're going to see more smart rings. We saw Honor announced that they will be bringing one to the market. I believe Xiaomi also made an announcement, or at least a hinting at that. Don't quote me on that. I'm not exactly sure yet. So it's cool to see. And, you know, there's also rumors that Apple will do that too. So we're going to see that expand into the fitness market. But at least from what Samsung has talked about, they talked about different, they haven't finalized. So, you know, you're not trying to lock themselves in a box. That they're looking to see, you know, best materials, because people are allergic to certain materials and things like that, just to make sure that it fits the most amount of people possible, and also sizing and things like that, so that at least most people get to use the ring. But from what I saw, touched and sampled, it was fairly light. It felt comfortable to hold. I didn't actually wear it. I wasn't allowed to actually wear it, but I was actually touching it. So it felt solid, but it looks like Samsung is taking a very, very unique approach, in the sense that they are looking at all their health partners first, in terms of making sure they can track a lot with the Galaxy Ring, you know, from just your basic, you know, health tracking to, you know, trying to pinpoint different ailments and things like that. So they really try to make sure that those aspects are in tuned, because, you know, when we were chatting with them, we're just talking about, you know, I was talking about, you know, my mom, older loved ones and things like that, where you want something that's less intrusive and they don't have to stress too much. And they're not even they, you know, and my mom always now looks at her Galaxy Watch, because she, you know, it's got the stress meter thing that she can look at. My mom likes to stress a lot. She really does. So she's like, I'm stressing. I'm like, Mom, like, just, it's so that you don't stress. Don't be stressing and checking it out. So those are the kind of things.
It brings on your stress because you're stressing about the stress.
I know.
And that's hilarious.
Yeah. So I think those things are really cool. So we'll see. No dates or anything. I think it was probably most likely going to launch with the Fold. To me, that makes the most amount of sense in that. But yeah, it would be interesting to see it.
Yeah, but I think with the ring, you know, like, you're wearing a ring right now. I think rings are the least, or so I think, the least intrusive things that you can wear. Like, you can just have it on and it's not really coming in your way as such, right? Which again makes it perfect for sleep tracking, and that's something that I do need. But I think with the R&D power and the hardware kind of, you know, reputation that Samsung has, I think the tracking should be potentially better than other devices that we've seen. Now, let's see again. I might be wrong, but we're going to have to wait and see when it does come out. But yeah, I'm looking forward to testing it. I can definitely see myself using a ring more often. All right. So that has been episode number 33. Of the podcast. Enabong's been here and there because of his room checkout, but hey, we managed to do it. That's the main thing. So thank you for watching and listening. If you're watching on YouTube, do consider subscribing to the channel so you can see future episodes and clips like this. If you're listening on all of the different podcasting platforms, do leave us a rating and a review. That will help others listen to it as well and discover it too. And we'll see you next month for the next episode. This is your host, Saf, on Super Saf Speaks with my co-host.
And this is Brother E from Border Work.
No, you have to say E-Pie.
Oh, sorry. This is E-Pie, Brother E from Border Work.
I like that. That's the one. And we'll see you next time.